Blog
Hello,
Talk
everybody.
Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Susie with Lena's Talk. Lena's not going to be here tonight. She is studying to take her test for her CDL tonight. So everybody needs to send out positive thoughts her way. We know she's got this. She's not going to need any luck because she's one smart cookie. Tonight, we're going to have a special guest on. She is a seventh grade math teacher at a large rural school district in Missouri. Her name is Samantha Johnson. We're going to talk about all things related to education right now. Call in. The number is, give me 1 second. The number is 516-387-1733. And press 1 to join in on the call. And let me wait on Samantha to join us. So, are you there?
I am.
Well, hello. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing well. So, how... Uh-oh. It is trying to cut me short.
Oh, no.
So, how long have you been teaching, Samantha?
So this will be my fifth year. My first 3 years, I was in a pretty small rural district, about 700 kids, K through 12. And then last year and this year, I'm going to be in a school that has about 1,600, if not more, kids.
Oh, wow. Wow. So have y'all started back school yet where you are?
Teachers are back and our kids start on Monday, which is pretty typical for Missouri. Most of our kids are going back next week and all the local districts.
I gotcha. So I know here in Tennessee, in our little community, they gave the parents the option to either go in person or to do virtual. And I think the way they worked it out was if you signed on to be virtual, you had to do at least the grading period. You had to remain virtual.
Our school is similar to that. We are being a bit more flexible, though, because virtual schooling, especially after what most schools experienced in the spring, where for teachers it was just kind of survival of like we went on spring break and then all of a sudden we weren't going back. So there's definitely some nervousness, especially since I work with the older kids, that they're going to think,
right,
oh, it was just that. It was pretty easy. Whereas now it's like, no, this is real cool. There's going to be lots of assignments, lots of online meetings, and that can be really, really tough for a kid that doesn't have maybe that motivation or maybe a stable home life to be able to devote the time to school. So our district is letting them come back if they are really struggling, and that's a better option for their family. But of course, there's lots of decisions that go into that if it is better for them or their family.
Right. Well, that's kind of been my concern, especially when you're discussing children who have maybe a single parent household and the parent works and, you know, not everyone has a good support system. And so how are the schools going to address, if they decide to go completely virtual, how are they going to address the needs of those children?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation for everybody because I work in a school that has a pretty large homeless population, and they're about 56-58% kids on free and reduced lunch. So you're assuming that a lot of that probably means they are single parent households. They're definitely low income households. But then, you know, that household may have somebody that's high risk, so they're not willing to send their kid to school because it just isn't safe for their family. So I think a big thing, especially for me, whenever I think about my virtual kids that I may be working with, is definitely checking in. What can the school be doing? Can they get them in touch with resources to be helpful, with social workers? You know, are they eating? Do they have food, quarantine or something? Do they have access to other people that can bring them the materials they need? I know some districts are, even if their kids are virtual, they may still be doing food programs similar to how a lot of schools did in the spring. So I think it's just all about still having those relationships with students that we focus so much on when we're in school, and then trying to figure out, okay, how do we make those relationships work in, when you're doing virtual school?
Right, right. I know our school board had a meeting earlier this week, and it got posted on one of our pages that one of the school board members actually said, well, you know, if we go virtual, then someone addressed the question, what are you going to do about the children who don't have someone at home to help them with those virtual classes? And the school board member said, well, I guess they can send them to daycare. Well, a lot of the parents here are up in arms about that because they kind of feel like, what is the difference between sending a child to a daycare facility versus going to a school facility when your daycare facilities are a lot smaller in comparison to a school facility? And not only that, but where I live in a rural area, there are available to house the capacity of children that we could potentially be looking at. And so the parents are grappling with that really, really hard right now. You know, and I'd like to think that some of the parents can step up, or, you know, in my situation, I have a friend who works and her husband's a truck driver and her child is a middle school child. And I let her know she was worried about leaving her child to do the work on her own, even though she's old enough to be alone, because she's worried that her child won't do what she needs to do. And I just told her, you know, bring her to me. I'm home. She can gladly come to my house. So you got to hope that people will step up and step in and be willing to help their neighbors.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely what I was thinking too when you were describing that, is it's just, you know, schools are such a big part of our community, and people, you know, they just affect so many things. Like if the school's gone, because they're, you know, that is the way our society is set up, is the schools can take care of the children, educate the children, teach them about what it's like to be in a community and how to live. And whenever they get out into the workforce or whenever they choose to do what they do with their lives. And now that that's gone, it really is on, like you said, help your neighbors helping out each other and just everybody really working together. It's like, what can we do about this, while the school district is always still trying to figure out, okay, what can we do next? Because I mean, the bottom line, nobody is standing up in front of a classroom really just to hear themselves talk. They're doing it for the kids and wanting better futures for the kids and to connect with those kids. So I know for our district, like, it was pretty much every teacher was always volunteering to hand out food, or we did some child care for like first responders and medical workers. So we just all have to count on each other, and it's hard. It's so hard with all the unknowns that are happening.
Right, right. I'm sure this is so difficult for the teachers. I mean, and it, you know, again, like I say, I've saw some of the comments from the parents after the school board meeting here the other night. And, you know, you can't place the blame on the teachers first and foremost. I mean, and really the administrators too. They're doing the best that they can do right now with the circumstances they've been given. And the county we live in, our numbers have been trending pretty high. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of a problem too. Because we are such a small area. So to have such a big number here is kind of shocking. But we also have a lot of workers from out of town, from other cities. We have a huge Tyson's plant here. Their numbers have been through the roof throughout this whole thing. So I think a lot of that accounts for those numbers. And then we have other districts that have made these unilateral decisions that we're going to send kindergarten through second graders in person. Then I can't remember exactly how it went. It was kindergarten through second grade will go to school in person. And then third grade and up would not get to go to school. And so it didn't make a lot of sense why they excluded that middle section of students. And then you have parents that, you know, they went to bat and they fought for their kids to be able to go to school in person because they knew that that's what their kid needed. You know, and it's such a personal decision, parent, to have to make that call because you don't want to endanger your child. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that, you know, from your guys' standpoint, you know which kids need to be in class. Because you teachers, you guys have a pretty unique bond in the workplace. And so the grade that's coming to you, you have teachers below you that can tell you which students are going to thrive and which students are going to need extra help. So I think that can come into play a lot in identifying which children need the most help and the most intervention, I guess would be a good word for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is. You do know. And it's hard, too, because when you think about with rules and regulations that are being put in place in schools to where they can remain open and to where people can remain safe, some of that, you know, hands-on stuff or group learning stuff or just the feel of school is kind of taken away right now because we have to, you know, maintain social distancing. We can't share supplies or do this or do that. So it kind of makes it toward that stuff that does help those kids thrive is also being taken away too, even inside the room. But too, it's also, I mean, for me, it would be really hard for me to call a parent and be like, I know you picked virtual learning because that's what's best for the safety and health of your family. But as far as academics go, your kid has to be in school. So, and then I couldn't imagine as a parent trying to make that decision as well. Where do I go here? But I have heard, like you were saying in the beginning, about some districts that are doing elementary, whether it's K-2 or they're doing K-5, and then they're splitting them up amongst the buildings to where they can use all their campuses on district and have enough kids in there and have enough teachers while still maintaining the regulations that they need to be safe, and then having their older kids go virtual because it is easier for working families to leave, you know, their 14-year-old at home versus their 8-year-old.
Right, right. I mean, that's a lot different. You know, it's one thing to leave an older child to their own devices. Versus leaving a child that's old and young. Well, even I noticed that a daycare worker commented on the post I was telling you about, and she was talking about she didn't know anything about Common Core math. So, You know, that's going to be a learning curve for a lot of people. But I think everyone is just going to have to pull together and do the best they can do. And, you know, they might find that doing virtual school or homeschooling or whatever they decide for their family, it may give them some freedom, you know, to do things with their kids that will be educational and outside of the box.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just with all, you know, because as a teacher, you have these certain standards you're supposed to teach at certain grades and so on. And like you said, you know, if you're choosing to go maybe homeschool, then you do have more freedom. You can pick which curriculum works for your family or your faith or your beliefs, that kind of thing. And then be able to use your own knowledge of what works for your kids, of how they learn. Maybe it's going outside and building something with them to work on math skills versus maybe what they would be doing in the classroom, in a traditional classroom.
Right. Yep, exactly. Now, I don't know, today I saw a post today that was very strange to me, and I hope that no one gets offended by this. But there was a teacher, and I know I wrote it down somewhere. Anyways, it was in Pennsylvania, and there was a teacher that was teaching virtually, and she noticed on the wall, I guess, of the child's bedroom that there was a BB gun. And so she sent the police to the child's house. Are you guys is that something you feel like that was just an individual teacher, or is that something that parents really need to be thinking hard about when they're setting up their child for their virtual schooling?
Yeah, I mean, at least for me and what I've experienced so far, and since I'm in a rural district, you know, you kind of expect those things, especially when I've been in a really rural district where there's,
right,
you know, hunting or outdoorsy activities, that kind of thing, archery, stuff like that. So it is very, when you're, you know, as a teacher, you're a mandated reporter. So we're definitely, I have not at least been told anything like that. But like in the spring, whenever we were doing online meets and stuff, it is interesting, I would say, you know, because seeing that home life of a kid, whether it is just their bedroom or something like that. Now, you know, I would definitely say that's just the teacher's individual decision, because you don't want to be, maybe not in this scenario per se for personal feelings, but you don't want to be that teacher that maybe hears or sees something and then you don't say anything because you're just like, oh, not a big deal. And then it does turn out to be a big deal. Obviously, I don't really think that applies necessarily in that situation, but kids do make those offhand comments where maybe they just think they're funny or they're trying to get attention from their friends or seem cool, you know. But a lot of that stuff you do have to take so seriously as well. So that situation,
right,
itself, you know, teacher individual decision, but you do get put in a tough, like, oh, I kind of wish, like, personally, I don't maybe think it's that big of a deal, but because of blah, 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 I have to take it very seriously.
I gotcha. I mean, that I can see why it would be a double-edged sword. Just be a hard call to make. You know, I guess for one, you would have to take into account the student, because they said this student was actually working on becoming an Eagle Scout. So, you know, if his teacher, and it may have been a situation where the teacher was new to the kid, so she didn't know, she or he, I don't know whether the teacher was male or female.
Yeah.
They may not have known that about that student. So I guess I can see where you're coming from, and maybe if they had known that, then it wouldn't have been as big a deal. And you know, that's the nice thing about living in a smaller community and smaller schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, it is too. You know, it's not like there were rules written for this necessarily of what it's like. What if you see this on an online meeting, or what if you see that? You know, what are we supposed to do? Whereas at school, you know, it's like, even if it's a BB gun, like, we have to take that completely seriously. Like, there's no real leeway on that in a school building. But when you're in your home, you know, that's obviously,
right,
like, just at first glance, you think that's way different. But, and I don't know. I have teachers that teach in districts, you know, across the country, friends from programs or from conferences that I have met, but I definitely haven't heard of anybody necessarily being trained yet on what to look for, what constitutes as a major deal that we need to report if we see at home. Obviously, you know, there's some stuff that's just like, no, that's unacceptable. Like, we have to report this, or we have to send it up the command. But some of the stuff, like the situation you were describing, is very interesting.
Right, right. Yeah, I was kind of shocked by it. I was taken aback a little bit because, you know, I'd seen other things about apparently there was a kid on the computer doing virtual schooling, and the other kids heard his dad storming through the house yelling, cussing, screaming, you know, and it made mm-hmm. everyone uncomfortable. But again, that's not something the school has control over. You know, it's one of those situations. Apparently there's a mute button on the computers, and maybe the parent just didn't know how to use that mute button, or the child. It's
yeah.
unfortunate that put a child in that position, but, you know, stranger things have happened, I suppose.
Yeah, well, in every, you know, every household's different of how they function, how they, what they believe, you know, what is acceptable behavior, not acceptable behavior, or things like that. And so it's really just interesting, I guess, is the only word I can use, intriguing, to see, to kind of think about that. Because whenever you know, you go out in public, no matter who you are, you tend to act a little bit different than you are whenever you're in your, when you're own, in your own home. So,
well, of course,
it's of course just a different set of challenges for everybody, for the parents at home that, you know, want to walk around in their night clothes in the middle of the day because maybe they do work a night shift or it's their own home, but then their kids, you know, having their camera open, talking to their talking to their classmates. And then you have somebody walk by and you're like, what are you doing? I'm in school right now. Kind of thing.
Right.
So one thing I would suggest for any parents is to set up a space for their kid to do their virtual learning. And that's where they do it. Don't, you know, whether it's in their bedroom or at the dining room table, or I've seen some people setting up spaces using like the science fair display board types where they kind of have kind of some privacy mat, that kind of thing, to give a set space. And that will also help kids to say, okay, when I'm here, I do school. Because a big thing that helps kids with not only their behavior, but their focus when they're in their school building is because that's what school is. This is how I behave. This is what I focus on. Yes, we have fun, we see our friends, you know, but the goal is school. Whereas when you're at home, you're more relaxed. I know in the spring I had a kid telling me how much harder he thought the assignments were than during the school year. And I was like, well, bud, I think honestly you've done way harder stuff whenever we were in school than what you're doing now. And he was like, well, yeah, but my Xbox is right here. My computer's right here. I have my phone. I'm in my bedroom. Like, it doesn't feel the same, so it's so much harder for me to focus. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. And since it was my first experience with doing any kind of virtual learning, that was something I didn't really think about. Because as an adult, it's a bit easier to kind of transition. You got to work when you got to work. You got to provide for your family or provide for yourself. But for a kid with all those other distractions around, they're not – ready yet. They haven't had that practice yet and that life experience to be able to shut off the play at home and work, and especially being in the same environment.
Absolutely. You know, it presents a whole different level of challenges for a child. I mean, it's hard enough for us as an adult to
mm-hmm.
focus when we have so many things that are calling our attention away from that. I feel for the kids. I really do. I mean, my heart goes out to you guys who teach, too, because I imagine this is an incredibly hard time. You guys are being critiqued and criticized for every little thing, and the schools are, you know, the administrators are being criticized for every decision they make. It's kind of like here in Tennessee, we get snow days quite often in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Because we don't, you know, we're in the South, so we don't have all the equipment to keep our roads clear, you know, and all that. So it doesn't take a whole lot to shut our schools down for a snow day. And it's always so funny because the superintendent, Don Embry, you know, no matter what call he makes, somebody's going to be mad at him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, is whether he calls them off or whether he makes them go or miss what, you know, he may even decide, hey, let's go in 2 hours late and he still catches flight no matter which way he goes. And I just would not want his job. I would not want that job. And I was just reading here, one of the commenters on Facebook said a friend of his daughter said that they're making them wear dress code while they're in their own home doing virtual school.
Yeah. Every teacher's different about what they prioritize, I guess I would say, or, you know, pick and choose. Every classroom has different rules, you know. But, of course, there's still district policy that everybody follows. What I would say is my gut is of why a school district or a teacher would require that is similar to how I was just discussing before of whenever kids are at home and they're relaxed and it's so maybe having them say, okay, I'm going to school. I need to be dressed appropriately and not in, you know, my pajamas or in my swimsuit because I was at the pool earlier or out playing outside or, you know, whatever it is, getting that time and getting focused. Okay, now it's time to get ready for school. Even if I'm not leaving to go to school, might help that child be able to focus a bit more. That would be what I would say why a district or a teacher may require that. At the same time, you know, every teacher's different. Some teachers may think that would help. Some teachers may think that may just be, you know, too far. So, but whatever it is, whether, you know, we disagree or agree, just like similar to what you were saying with snow days, is somebody is going to think it's wrong at the end of the day. But I do think every teacher in every district is doing what they think is going to help their kids best. So there's things we all don't like. I know there's definitely things I've experienced in my career as a teacher and before that whenever I was in college and substituting where I would hear stuff and I would just be like, I don't agree with that. Like, I think it's kind of silly. But it's my job and that's what I have to enforce or that's what I have to do. Okay, then that's what I'll do.
Right. Yeah, and I guess I can see, you know, and it may have been a situation you never know if that teacher may have encountered a student who was dressed in a way that could be distracting to, because I don't know how the setup works. Can the kids see each other on the virtual setups?
Yeah,
or?
There's lots of different platforms that schools are using. I've heard of some schools using Microsoft Teams, some schools using Zoom, some schools using Google Meet, some schools using some other ones that are just embedded or already in maybe a program they were already using, such as, like, I've heard Seesaw and Class Dojo for some younger kids. I know on all the ones that I've used or I've seen, the kids can see each other, but I do think maybe there's some way to get into some settings to where maybe they can only see the teacher. But I would say as a teacher, like, my goal would be for them to be able to see the other kids and to interact with each other and stuff like that. So I'm going to say probably around 99% of the time they're seeing other kids.
Well, then that might make a little bit of sense because you never know if that teacher had encountered a student who wasn't dressed appropriately. And, you know, she didn't want the other kids comfortable or, you know, maybe the child didn't realize what the other kids were able to see. Maybe the child thought they could only see, you know, neck up and, you know, so the teacher felt like that was the best plan of action to stop that from being a problem. You know, you got to give – everybody needs to realize that everyone in this scenario has to be given some grace, you know.
Yes.
It's not, I don't think anyone is trying to punish anyone when it comes to the virtual learning or the in-person schooling or, you know, I know here in our district, masks aren't even required. It's more or less, if you want to wear a mask, mask, and if you don't, don't. And a lot of parents were up in arms about that too. You know, I'm not a mask wearer. I won't lie. I don't see a need for me to wear a mask. I'm healthy. spend a lot of time, you know, gathering in large groups of people where I could possibly be exposing myself. So, you know, it's a personal choice for me, and it, to me, it should be everyone's choice whether or not they want to wear a mask. We know the risks we're taking. You know, I don't know. If I had a child that was high risk, I would not send them to school. The mask thing wouldn't matter to me anyway, because that child would not be at an in-school, in-person setting. Because I think that's when common sense comes into play. And I know that every year you inevitably have that one child that the parent sends to school no matter how sick they are. I know. I've raised five children, and I have a daughter that, man, if a kid in kindergarten, their school was kindergarten through eighth, and so if a kid in kindergarten had strep and came to school, I promise you she got strep from that child every time. It never, you know, so I get it. I get how that works. And that's the problem, too, is that you don't have enough parents with common sense or common courtesy, I guess would be a better way to put it, of realizing that, hey, I know I need to work, but my child is sick, and it wouldn't be fair to send my child to school to make everyone else sick.
Yeah, so, and yes, there's definitely that. And I also, you know, think a lot about just like how now, you know, with parents choosing between virtual learning or being in the classroom, is it all depends, you know, well, if I want my kid to do virtual learning because of that's best for our family given the current times. But if I do that, then I have to find somebody for my kid to go to during the day because I can't quit my job. Or I can't do this. Right. So there is a lot of things, too, you know, the same thing that comes into play, like you were just describing, you know, if a kid's really sick, if I take off, am I going to get fired? Or is there some other circumstances as well? So, but yeah, I mean, we definitely always have those kids that come in, you know, no matter what, and have a temperature or whatever it is. But it is... It's just tough, you know, in every situation of being understanding while still like this is just unacceptable, or you know what can we do as a school district, or what can I do as a teacher to help you as a family or as a parent if that is the position where you're in, where your kid is really sick, but if you don't go to work that day, you are losing your job, or maybe you're at a job where you know like. I've worked in, you know, food for a long time in high school and college. So it was like, if I missed work that day, I didn't have the money to pay my rent in college by just missing that day. So if you're working on tips and stuff, so it's like where, and some of that stuff too, especially, I mean, I'm not a parent, but I couldn't imagine going and saying, you know, the fear of saying, hey, I really need help here. Could you point me into some resources or something? So I think, too, it's a lot of, you know, coming together and knowing the school can help you with a lot of things. They may not be able to be the ones that provide it. But if you're in a situation where things like that are happening or you think that's a potential, to talk to, you know, the school counselor. Some schools have social workers, and for them to get you the resources you need, because everybody does, you know, everybody does struggle. And especially right now where people have been forced out of work, not by choice in a lot of places, or like you had said, like you have a Tyson plant, maybe it gets shut down because of how high the cases are, and that's unexpected for some families relying on that money. That while, yes, of course, there are times where we hear stuff at school that's like we have to alert the appropriate authorities, a lot of times we do hear those stories of just a family struggling that may need resources to a food bank for the month because the main breadwinner broke their foot or something. So saying that stuff, while yes, it can be fearful or sometimes even just embarrassing for a parent, that we're in it to help you and your child and to do what's best and what we can do. So definitely reach out of whatever you need, and the school is going to help you or do their best to get you the information they can.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I hate that there's such a stigma, it seems, in asking for help. No mm-hmm. one should ever be ashamed, in my opinion, to ask for help. We've all had hard times, you know, and that's what it's there for. You know, it's there to help those people who need it. And I've seen it far too often. I've been trying to help a friend of mine today that just had a new baby, and it was unexpected, unplanned, and, you know, here she is, and she needed help, you know, and that's what you do. When someone needs help, you step in and you do what you can, even if it's not much, because it doesn't always have to be a lot. And so I think in the scenario we find ourselves in with the school situation, it's like I said, I'm at home. The things that I do for our business, I can do right here at the house. So if I can be here for my friends and my family, my grandchildren, whatever the case may be, then I'm going to give them that help. And it's such a blessing, I have to say, Samantha, to hear you as a teacher say that you don't have children, but you fully empathize with the position that so many parents find themselves in, because, you know, some people don't have that ability to understand where those parents are coming from and why they send their kids, you know, give them medicine to bring that fever down and send them to school, because they're one paycheck away from being homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's, you know,
it's just, I can't hard imagine for everybody.
Be tough for you. It has to be heart-wrenching for you. And it's probably a little bit different teaching the older grades, because I would imagine, you know, those students are probably going to be, I guess, depending on the student, you're going to hear more out of them. Well, I don't know, because sometimes little kids don't have a filter.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, maybe they have friends that are willing to look out for them at that age. They're willing to come to you and say, hey, you know, little Johnny.
Yeah,
go ahead, Samantha.
It is. Oh, sorry. It is, I would say, because I've worked a little bit with the younger kids, just with substituting and whatnot. And they do, like you said, they don't have a filter, but it is a little bit easier with the older kids, like you said, that have a friend to look out for them, or they just kind of are starting to know what's acceptable and what's not, and that it's okay to speak up going
right.
wrong and to tell a trusted adult. Because, you know, in the younger ages, like, that's what you tell your kids a lot is, like, if somebody hurts you or if you're unsafe, or you tell a trusted adult, but there's still so much fear in that, especially if it's a person that is supposed to be their trusted adult. Whereas in the older ages, their friends especially start to see and they know. And so, but it is, I mean, I'm sure there's been kids that I have taught or encountered that something was probably wrong and we never knew. Whether they hit it really well, whatever it was, or maybe not even something seriously wrong, you know, but maybe their family did just need a little bit of help with maybe more food for that week, or maybe extra blankets or extra household cleaning items or laundry detergent, just simple stuff too, that they never said
right.
anything. Because in my age, you know, becomes a lot, their hormones, you know, everything's changing. They're all kind of smelly sometimes because they haven't quite figured it out yet. So sometimes, you
right.
know, with the middle school kids, it's like, kind of change today, but is this like a problem, or is this just because you're a 13-year-old boy? So it is, you know, it's a tough kind of line to figure out where they are and what they need. But I think we as a community do a good job of, and hopefully this is what, you know, we're instilling in our children, whether it's at school or at home, of
it is okay to ask for help, and it is okay, like, we're here for each other. Everybody has their own personal responsibilities and has to take care of themselves as well and do their best, but we're still a community and we still have to look out for each other.
That's absolutely right. That couldn't be more true. Lena told me to ask you a question. She told me to ask you why you teach.
Why what? I'm sorry.
Why do you teach? Why did you choose teaching?
So my brother really struggled in school. I was a kid that did really well in school. I didn't, like, sometimes I thought it was kind of a waste of my time, that I was just bored. But I knew I was going to go to college. I knew I was going to get a good job. Like, I wasn't ever worried about me in school. So I knew how to play the game of school. I made good grades, you know. My brother didn't. He really struggled in school. Maybe he didn't understand the concept. Maybe he just hated the structure of it. Maybe a teacher didn't make it relatable for him. Or fine, you know, how we were describing earlier, maybe a kid learns math better by going outside and building something versus trying to figure it out on a worksheet, right?
Right.
So I wanted to help kids that are like my brother, and I wanted to change the way school looks and let them know that it's okay to struggle. And if that they're not understanding something that I'm teaching them, that's okay, and they need to tell me to where I can change and do what I need to do to get them to understand that concept and to let kids know that they're loved and that people are there for them no matter what. So that's why I teach.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I mean, you know, there's no way anyone goes into teaching for a paycheck. There's not, the money's not there. If you wanted to make money, you would definitely choose a different profession. You know, and too often I had someone say something to me recently that was very upsetting for me because I posed the question about the virtual schooling and about the kids that won't have the help that they need. And this was a remark from a teacher who's pretty much brand new to it. This is her first year. And she said, well, you know, I'm a teacher, not a babysitter. I'm a teacher, not a damn babysitter. And it hurt my heart. It hurt my heart to hear that because, you know, I get it. I get that you guys are getting paid to teach and not babysitting. However, you guys, some of these kids, you guys are the only love they know. You know, you're the only one that show them a minute's compassion or help them, you know, feel better about themselves or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it may be because she's a brand new teacher and so she hasn't had that child yet that has touched her, that touched her heart in a way that made her realize how very important what she does is for those children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, struggle with worrying about my grandchildren and what it's going to be like for them. I have three grandsons that all started kindergarten this year. Two of them are here locally and one is in North Carolina. The one in North Carolina, they took a different approach. They're doing a 2-day in person. So he goes on Thursday and Friday. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he does virtual schooling.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other group, of course, does Monday, Tuesday virtual. Well, everybody does virtual on Wednesday. But Wednesday is the day that no one goes to school so that they can clean very, very deep clean.
Yeah, we have a district that's doing that same kind of setup near where I live.
It's interesting, you know, and it presents its own challenges for my daughter's family because, you know, she works and her husband's military. And so, you know, it has its own unique challenges because, of course, she doesn't have family there. She does have some really amazing friends that have stepped up and said, hey, we got you. You know, we're here to help. You know, and even her daycare. Her daycare facility has been wonderful, you know, about letting him stay there and helping out. So she's been very blessed. But it tugs at my heart knowing that there are kids out there that they don't have that help. And, you know, politics aside, I think we all have to put our politics aside. You know, this is not a political issue. Our children's future should not be a political issue, in my opinion. So we have to protect the kids, but we also have to be damn sure that they're getting the education that they need now to build a future. Mm-hmm. You know, my biggest concern has always been the younger children because, like you said, the older children, they can work more independently. So if you've got a child that's never been in a preschool setting, let's use a child as an example that's never even had a preschool setting for whatever reason. Mom's a stay-at-home mom. Whatever the case may be, she couldn't afford daycare, so grandparents took care of the child. So they never had that base foundation, that structure, or someone teaching them to write their name, their numbers, their alphabet, whatever the case may be. And then they don't get to go to kindergarten this year because they have to learn virtually. It's going to be very challenging for a small child to do. Now, hopefully, you would hope that the parent can step in and fill that gap, but we all know that not everyone's built to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you're a parent doesn't mean that you're able to be a teacher.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm very interested to see in how this school year plays out for everyone across the nation, you know, not just here in my little hometown. It's going to be interesting to see how it falls all the way around because we all know that a good education is a foundation for a successful life. And without that, you know, children are doomed.
Yeah, and the thing, you know, it is just so tough. And with whatever decisions that are making, or maybe parents think they're making the right decision by sending their kid to school, and then because of the regulations or rules in school, it's really not good for that kid because maybe that kid is a kid that has been in school before and they're so excited to get back, and then they get back and it's completely different. And not what they had before, so it hurts them even more. Or you have, you know, the younger kids that maybe are going into school, so they come in and they see the way it is, and that's just the way it is. And it's still heartbreaking to see, you know, kids not being able to interact with each other on the playground or sit by each other at lunch or some of those social things that make school school.
Oh, absolutely.
But something that I just have to keep telling myself, especially, you know, when I'm struggling, because you do hear, you know, nasty things from the community or from, you know, somebody's always upset, and sometimes you feel like it's just only on your shoulders, even though you know it's not true, it still kind of feels like that, is that this world we're living in right now and how it is temporary. And
right.
We may end up in a new, different normal. But the more we encounter it, you know, the more we come up with better ways to teach virtually or maybe better solutions to get kids in school as much as they can be while still being safe in the current climate. So we can
right.
my thought is we can only get better. Is yes, there's going to be some things that just downright suck in the first time you do it. But hopefully, you know, we just continue to learn from those mistakes that we're making, given how quickly everything had changed for the entire nation, and then start making steps of, okay, if this is how we're living, how are we going to make the best out of it, and how are we going to continue to protect our kids while educate our kids and just our community in general?
Right, right. Well, I think, too, I mean, you know, all of the studies are showing that children fare pretty well with this virus, you know, compared to adults. Not saying that kids don't get it, because they do, but they just fare better health-wise. But we also have to think about the teachers, because it's really not fair of us, and not just the teachers, the administrators, the cafeteria workers, the janitors, the bus drivers. You know, there are so many people that are vital to our education system. And you have to think about those people and exposing those people as well. And I think sometimes we're all guilty of it. All of us that aren't in the education field, we're all guilty of forgetting about. I would hate to know that I sent a child to school unknowingly with COVID-19 because they're not showing any symptoms. And I made a teacher away from retirement sick and possibly cost them their lives, because no one wants that on their shoulders. No one wants to have that blame or guilt, you know, which, I mean, of course, you may not ever know that it was your child that caused it, but still, the fact remains, we have to think about other people, and we have to think about how we're affecting lives, you know. And
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, with you talking about how you're from a small community too, you know, one, for me personally, you know, you think about it, and because I've been in small communities too all my life, it's like one, you know, one death or one person seriously ill or can really rock a community and really, really affect it. And so, and it is, there's just so many unknowns of how, you know, the virus of who it affects, who it doesn't, all of that stuff. And there's so many different players into the education system, as you described, that it's just a mess, honestly, for all of us, you know. But like you said, we just have to do the best we can and just be in good faith about protecting ourselves and, you know, our family and loved ones, and also, you know, being a responsible citizen for whatever that means for you, of not, of, you know, just whatever it means. So, but I think we'll one day look back on this and talk about it, and it'll be over, hopefully. That's what I keep telling myself. So, and maybe too, we'll get some better. I'm sorry, do what?
I said it surely isn't going to last forever.
Yeah. And hopefully with, you know, the changes that we've had to make, maybe, you know, maybe we implement or we learn stuff from it that does make our education system better, whether it's giving more flexibility to students of learning online versus learning in the classroom, if that's what works for them, or maybe if they're a kid that wants to get into, you know, they're in high school, so they want to start doing a trade field and start doing internships, but they still want to stay in school and get their high school diploma. So maybe they can do, you know, go out and do that trade field during the day, and then they take some of their classes online. So there are some things that I'm seeing, just trying to be a forward thinker about it, that's like, hey, we could really use this to our advantage of what we implement in our schools next. Of seeing like, oh, hey, we can do it like this. While it's not ideal and we don't have it all figured out yet, what are some positives that we can take to make it better for our community and to give our kids choices and flexibility and to give the best we can with an ever-changing world?
Oh, that is so true. And I mean, I was just sitting here thinking, I actually was a teenage mother. I had my oldest son at the young age of 15. And, of course, for those girls, you know, of course, there's a homeschool program where a teacher comes by your house and they bring you your work, you know, and you're left to do your work.
Yeah.
And I had an amazing homeschool teacher. Don't make no mistake about that. She's an amazing lady. However, I was just sitting here thinking, man, if they had virtual school when I was on homeschool, because I was in honors classes, you know, that would have been great, because I would have had that extra, which I only stayed out of school for 10 days. The way I saw things, you know, well, whether I was sitting at home on the couch or sitting at school behind a desk, which one, you know, how was how are the two any different? So I went back to school pretty quickly. But maybe if I'd had the virtual option, I could have spent a little more time at home, you know, with my son in those early weeks. You know, but it was, my education was very important to myself and to my mother. So, you know, I had to get back to school as quickly as I could. But, you know, you bring up a very interesting, you know, you have children all the time that for various reasons, whether they have an immune disorder or they're battling cancer or, you know, a plethora of things. They had surgery, you know, a tonsillectomy even. You know, it'd be perfect for a kid like that because then they're not missing so much.
Yeah, well, and too, you think in a small community that maybe their school district's small, so they can't offer maybe higher level courses or more specialized courses for a kid that that might be their path. So if you can, you know, open up some of that online learning of, hey, I know that you're really into this subject and you're flying colors and you need more than what our district can give you. So here is this online thing that you can do in addition to help you get as an individual where you want to be, even though we're just in this small little community nobody's ever heard of. So it could give, you know, if I think if we play, obviously I'm no expert and have only been in this for 5 years, but I do think there's a really good potential that we can see once everything's under control, some positive outcomes that help kids that maybe think, oh, I'm never going to be able to get out of this town or never going to be able to make something of myself because I'm not at some big brand name school, I guess you would call it, you know, but opening it up to the disparities and kind of evening the playing field for kids despite where they are or what happens in their life or, you know, choices that are made, they can still get the best education possible by it. So, I mean, we'll see. I hope that we do take some positives away from it and better our school system from what it is and just keep moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. We just have to, everybody's got to start having a more optimistic view of things and stop being so negative Nancy-like and just determine that it's going to fail. Because with an attitude like that, certainly going to get what you're asking for. So if you try to look at it in a viewpoint, because for, you know, one of the things that we were talking about is there are truckers on the road out there that their families go with them. I have a friend right now from high school that her family purchased a little RV and they're remote learning across the country. I mean, how awesome would that be to be able to do something and have that kind of, you know, there are endless possibilities with this. Yes, I understand that there are situations where a child needs to be in person, in class.
Uh-huh.
That's the way to thrive. But not everyone has to do that. And so for the people that don't have to do that, they've got to get a better outlook of this thing. And they've got to stop being argumentative or complaining about it or just finding something wrong with the situation and embrace it and you know, use what they have, what they've been given to do their best to give their child the best.
Yes.
You know, I came into this looking at this differently, but I'm so glad that we did this tonight, and I'm sad that Lennon couldn't be here because she had to study tonight, but it's kind of good that she wasn't here because Lennon and I had very differing opinions. and yes, you know, Lennon's all about her mask and her gloves because her husband's sick.
Uh-huh.
So he's
right.
So it's a for her. You know, but
yeah, I mean, I've had to recommend to families I know of, hey, given your situation, well, yeah, I'm a school teacher, and of course I think kids need to be in school. I mean, that's my job. But for you, because of high-risk family members or your situation, keep them at home. They'll be okay. They'll still learn, and you're in a position where you can. So
I mean, I've definitely had to recommend it to family or family friends that have reached out to me and said, what do you think I should do since you're a school teacher and have experience? What do you think is best? So it is different for everybody depending on their situation.
Absolutely. And you know, again, it goes without saying, you've got to give people grace. What works for your family may not work for mine. And what works for my family may not work for my neighbor's family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all got to pull together and look out for these kids, because it takes a village. It takes a village.
Yes.
To raise. So if we would start doing that again and go back to that way of living, you know, we could help these children so much that are going through this. Because you think about it, none of us have ever... We don't know what these kids are feeling, because none of us have ever seen anything like this.
Yeah.
You know, so these kids are watching us to see what our reaction is. And depending on how we react, it's going to depend on how well our children cope. Because they're always looking to their adults to see how they're supposed to feel. So I think it's very important that we as adults start being more cautious and more careful of how we're approaching things, so that and know that our children are watching. They're always watching.
Yes, they are.
But Samantha, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I do appreciate your input. Thank you for all you're doing. I can't imagine my hat all those people in education right now. I cannot imagine. You guys have a mountain to climb. And I just thank you so much. And by the way, Lena told me to tell you she loves you. And if I didn't, she might be upset with me later. So, but thank you so much for coming on and
well,
talking.
Thank you. And thank you for what you're doing for your, you know, your neighbors and stuff, to be able to help them with, you know, the school situation that's happening, and just continue from the way you're talking, you know, to be a leader about what we can be doing versus what isn't happening.
Right, right. I will do my best. I mean, everybody, all my friends, anybody, family that's watching, that's close, just know we're here and we're in this together. Nobody has to go through this alone. And if you need help, reach out, because I got you.
Yeah.
Again, Samantha, thank you so much. And, hey, everybody, Lena is actually at home tonight. She's studying for her CDL. She goes and takes her test tomorrow, her general. Everybody send good thoughts and positive vibes and prayers for her to have a successful day tomorrow. She's got this. I know she does. She's tough. She's smart. She'll be just fine. But just so you know, that's why she wasn't here tonight. And next week, same time, 6 p.m. We'll get back with you on what our topic will be next week. I want to say, well, no, I don't, because I totally just drew a blank about what we were talking about doing next week. But I appreciate everyone who watched and who tuned in tonight. And share our video, please. Thanks, you guys. All right, Samantha. I do appreciate it again so much. And you keep doing what you're doing, because it sounds like you're a blessing to your students, and you just don't often, there's too few teachers out there, that have a passion for it, I guess is the word I'm looking for. My kids have a teacher from their old school that they still to this day go and visit. And I just love that they do that. I love that she made my kids feel so special. And I think you'll probably have kids that way too in your future. Samantha, are you still there?